Tamara, I am so excited to be talking to you today for many reasons, not the least of which is that the very first production of Pericles I ever saw was at the Royal Shakespeare Company on my honeymoon in 1989 with Nigel Terry in the title role. And I walked out of that production thinking, why has nobody ever told me that Pericles is Shakespeare's greatest play?
Wow.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 934, the RSC's Pericles. The beautiful Royal Shakespeare Company production of Pericles is now running at Chicago Shakespeare Theater in what Chicago Shakes is calling a new ongoing partnership between the two companies. RSC co-artistic director Tamara Harvey joined me last week on her day off from the Chicago Art Institute to talk about how she approached her Pericles and how her production fits into the legacy and history of the other RSC. Although I've seen many productions of Hamlet, not all of them have been amazing, but every production of Pericles I've ever seen has always been amazing. And my sense is that because directors and companies only come to it if they've got a deeply personal, passionate attachment to it.
Is my attachment personal? It wasn't actually when I started. I always loved the late plays. So that was kind of my way into it, was that it was one of the late plays. I didn't feel kind of unduly influenced by an amazing production that I'd either been an assistant director on or see myself. And as I was kind of reading it more, thinking about it, thinking about whether it was the one that I wanted to do as my first production at the RSC, I was really struck by a couple of things. I was struck by the journey of this young man as he encounters all these different kinds of leadership, and as he encounters other people trying to negotiate leadership, you know, the fisherman, for example, and particularly at this moment in the world on both sides of the Atlantic with elections happening, that felt really that it had some resonance. And I guess the other thing for me is that I feel so acutely at this moment in the world that we need hope and we need joy. And so it felt really important to do a play that let the audience end with joy, you know, walk out into the world feeling joy and feeling hope. And that has borne out so massively with our audiences in Stratford. They again and again, audiences would tell us how much they had needed to feel joy. And we've had one preview now at the Chicago Shakespeare, and it certainly felt that way last night.
I love what you say, that it began with a political impulse but ended in a joyful, personal, theatrical result. That seems magical in its own way, which is how I think of that play.
And it does, the play does weave a spell. It's fascinating watching audiences be caught up in it. And I think it weaves a spell in a way that I'm not sure any other of his plays that I've experienced quite do. There is something about that moment of the play beginning with "to sing a song that old was sung, from ashes ancient we are come." And that, you know, we're told that this is a play that has been used to restore audiences, you know, and it does that.
Well, it does it in a way that I maybe this is my own personal bias. It does it in a way where unlike Shakespeare's other romances, it doesn't feel icky. The passage of time seems inherent in the text. The loss of a daughter feels genuine. The repentance of the protagonist feels honest and true, and in a way that I can sympathize with. There's something very special about this play, and I guess I marvel at the fact that every time it's done, it's being rediscovered, when in fact we should be acknowledging its greatness from the jump.
Well, the good news is someone told me, and I can't fact check this for you, but someone told me recently that it has been performed more in the last 20 years than it has been in the preceding 200. So maybe it's getting more popular.
We are finding our moment.
Hey!
Speaking of magical, you directed this in Stratford. It is now coming to the Chicago Shakespeare Company, which is its only stop in the United States. Was that always the plan, or was this a happy happenstance that took place?
It was a kind of happy magical happenstance, I guess, in that I know Ed Hall of old and have directed for him previously when he was at the Hampstead Theatre. He reached out when he became artistic director of Chicago Shakes, and we began a conversation. And really early on, you know, I said, we were talking about the different things in the season, and I said, I'm doing Pericles. And he said, oh, I'd love it if it could come to Chicago. And it just felt like such a perfect marriage. As you know, the two theatres, the Swan and the Courtyard, are a beautiful echo of each other. And yeah. I trained in the States. I have a lifelong love affair of the United States, both kind of literally and metaphorically. My husband is American, and also I love being in the US. And Daniel, my co-artistic director, and I really feel very passionately that we want our RSC in this moment to be a company that reaches across borders and collaborates internationally with international artists and international companies. So it was a kind of perfect first step in that.
I love the sound of that for so many reasons. I also love in that spirit that this podcast episode is the first official collaboration between the two RSCs.
Yes. Perfect.
I'm Peter Holland. I'm the McNeil Family Professor in Shakespeare Studies at the University of Notre Dame, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This Saturday night, November 2nd, is our final performance of the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged in Greeley, Colorado. Then we'll perform the ultimate Christmas show abridged from December 9 through 11 at the South Padre Island Convention Center in Texas. And next March of 2025, we'll return to the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts for the three-week Lort Theater premiere of The Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel. Check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Tamara Harvey, the co-artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company. Her sound got a little garbled before, but she said Pericles has been performed more in the last 20 years than in the preceding 200. So, of course, I asked her a sincere but pompously phrased follow-up question. Also, what you said, this opening of borders, that's another theme that's important in Pericles. There's so much journeying that happens. Is the theatricality and the lack of Aristotelian unities in this play, is that a challenge, or is that just a marvelous playground?
Well, it felt when we were first thinking about the production with Jonathan Fenson, our set designer, Kenesha Isadora, costume designer, with Claire Van Kampen, our composer, with Ryan Day, our lighting designer, and with Annie Lynette Deacon Foster, whose movement, she's our movement director, and it's such an integral part. It felt like a gift because we very quickly decided that we didn't want it to be about big set changes, and B, it really can't be in the Swan. And right. and because the play itself is so kind of upfront about the fact that we are being told a story, it felt as though that was inviting us as the creative team to really embrace a kind of fluidity of storytelling and embrace the audience's imagination, really, really invite the audience's imagination. And there's that lovely line, making to take your imagination from born to born, region to region. And so it felt... that was a keystone, really, of how we approached the production.
It's interesting because plays like Pericles feel cinematic in that they are all over the place, and yet they embrace the strength of the power, the unique power of the theater.
Exactly that.
You have to use the actors to tell the story. It's an actor-driven sort of piece. Does that feel like a part of the RSC's tradition to be actor-driven rather than scenery-driven?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, I think the wonderful thing about Shakespeare's works and about the kind of legacy and history of the Royal Shakespeare Company is that both can be true. So, you know, there have been productions that are absolutely just about the actors and the words and space. And then there have been equally brilliant productions that have been, you know, heaped with scenic design and set changes. And I think that is the great gift of having Shakespeare as our house playwright, is that his works and his stories are wide enough and broad enough to invite both.
I love it that he's your house playwright. I love thinking of him that way. But that do you think of Shakespeare when you're working on Shakespeare? Do you think of him as a living playwright? Or do you think of his plays as a new text that you can play with, adapt? How beholden are you?
Certainly, Pericles felt that way. I mean, it felt like a new text. I don't think I could say that he felt like a living playwright, because if he had been, I might have had to tread far more carefully in terms of the edit.
Yeah.
I think the wonderful thing about Pericles, in a way, is that it exists only in a very corrupted form. It's been messed around by editors, and they've fought for centuries over what was intended. And also, we know it to have been collaborative in its very in the very writing of it, and
right.
so it did feel like. With this production, more than any other Shakespeare I've directed, I think I felt as though I was in collaboration with Shakespeare.
Wow!
And there was a kind of, I felt a freedom in how we approached the text and the changes we might make and the cuts and the elisions that was it somehow didn't feel quite so disrespectful as it might have done with one of the better known plays.
Right. Well, and it must be going very well, because you had your first preview yesterday. It was Sunday the 20th. We're recording on Monday the 21st, and you're already being a tourist here in Chicago. So I guess it's going pretty well.
I've got an amazing company, you know, both the creatives and the actors, our stage management team. And I have to say, Chicago Shakespeare Theatre have been just spectacularly welcoming and supportive and collaborative. So we've had a joyful tech, and we had a wonderful first preview last night. The Chicago audience completely blew me away in how engaged and responsive. And I mean, there were moments where it felt like they were kind of going, oh yeah, I love this bit. You know, I don't know if they all knew the play, but they felt like they did. And they certainly, the quality of listening in that space was breathtaking. So yeah, I did some work this morning, but this afternoon I thought I'd treat myself to the Art Institute.
Good. Well done you. I remember seeing that production in 1989 in the Swan with the pirates rappelling in from the ceiling. And there was a moment in Nigel Terry's performance where he made a choice in a long speech. And I went, oh, that's amazing. I want to go find this monologue and I want to do it myself, learn how to do it. And I go to the monologue, and whatever he had done that so struck me was not in the text. The first great lesson I had that it is that the truism that it's all that Shakespeare gives you everything is not true, that actors bring so much to it. So I can't wait to see your show.
Well, it's the thing Professor Emma Smith says, isn't it? That her wonderful theory, which I think is absolutely so acutely observed, that the reason these plays have survived is perhaps not so much because of the lines, but because of the gaps that he leaves.
Right. Peter Holland says that it's not how all these productions are the same. It's how they're all different that also keeps Shakespeare alive.
Exactly.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Tamara Harvey's exquisite Royal Shakespeare Company production of Pericles is now running at Chicago Shakespeare Theater through December 7th, 2024. Go to chicagoshakes.com for more information. Then send us your journey of redemption via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to Pirate King Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Heather Hartley. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Peter Holland, the McMeal Family Chair in Shakespeare Studies at the University of Notre Dame and the former director of the Shakespeare Institute in Stratford-upon-Avon. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 934 2800 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Tamara, from one RSE co-artistic director to another RSE co-artistic director, it's been such a delight to meet you virtually, and congratulations on your production. I can't wait to see it and hopefully see you and the RSE more.
Oh, I would love that. And thank you for being so beautifully understanding about my having got lost in space and time in the Art Institute. But it's a joy being in Chicago. So I very much hope that this is the first chapter in a long, long book that the two organizations, Chicago Shakes and the RSC, will write together. The other RSC.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.